Genesis chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning there, do we have any Panther fans here today? Just a few. Have any God fans here today? There we go. Hey, did you know this? God's a fan of you. And I can prove that to you with Scripture, and I'll do that sometime. God adores you. God loves you. As a matter of fact, I was thinking this morning when Cindy and I were coming in the blizzard, as that snow was pouring down many years ago, March 21st, 1979, God made me white as snow. And that is just absolutely amazing that God would do that in my life and that God would do that in any of our lives. So I love snow. It's a great reminder. Amen. It's a great reminder of what God has done in my life. And so if we get 6, 7, 8 inches sometime this winter, that'll be just fine with me. I still go out in the snow and play. I cannot help myself. Last year, Cindy and I were sledding down our road. It wasn't snow, though. That was ice last year, but we did, and we survived. We didn't break anything, and we'll do it again this year, hopefully. We really enjoy that. In your bulletin, there's a great article. I read it just a moment ago. This is from The Sanctity of Life, which you as a church support, and just an absolutely wonderful article, and I encourage you to read that sometime. It'll be a great encouragement to you and remind you of one of the ministries that you support. So here we are, Genesis chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. Do me a favor and bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's go to the Lord for just a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this great day that we have. And you have chosen this morning to be here at Herman Baptist Church, because you have a word for us. You, the creator of the universe, want to speak to us, Lord. And so I pray that our hearts would be open, that our spirits and our souls, Lord, would listen to you as you speak. Because if we do, you'll change us and we'll leave here today never to be the same again. So, Lord, speak to your people, and I pray that we hear in your precious name. Amen and amen. I started talking to you a little bit last week about getting back to the basics of Christianity, and I'm going to continue that this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about a very basic of the Christian life, and that's the altar. And it's certainly something that we need to get back to as Christians. We need to get back to the altar. And as we go through the sermon today, you'll really begin to understand that and understand how important it is. See, you and I, we, us, me, you, are constantly changing. We are not the same person that we were, say, a year ago, a month ago, or even a week ago. Life's cycle of change hasn't stopped. As humans, as long as you and I are alive, we will continue to change. So I ask you, what is it? What was it that so altered your life? What is it that changed and rearranged your life to the point that you were never the same again? Yes, it's that thing that happens and your whole life is altered. For some of us, it's the death of a loved one. It's that loss and that loneliness and that sadness and that sorrow. It's this experience that changes your life. And you're not the same after that happened. For me, it was when my dad died. It just changes you in such a way that you're never the same again. For others, for many of us, it's the birth of a child, right? You know, it's dirty diapers and milk, and dirty diapers and milk, and dirty diapers and milk, and sleepless night, and wonder, and joy, that little baby girl, or that little baby boy, brings to your life. And you bring that wonderful life into your life, and your life's never the same again. What was it for you? Maybe it was a major move. You moved from one city to another, or one state to another. For some of you, it's one country to another. You pack up all your belongings. You pack up everything that your wife will let you bring. She makes you throw some stuff away. You know what I'm talking about? And then when you move to where you're going to move, you have to go buy that stuff to replace that stuff that she made you throw away. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's crazy. But that move, it just changed everything. It made all the difference in your world. Maybe it was a business opportunity or a job loss, and it just altered everything. For many people, they look at it as it was that tragic day. And I remember back when 9/11 took place, I remember people saying, that day has changed me forever and I'll never forget. For so very, very many people, it's our help. Many folks have said to me, I had that heart attack or that cancer, and it reminded me of what is so important in life. And since that heart attack, I'll never be the same again. So, the question for you this morning, what is that thing for you? What is it in your life that changed everything about you, that seems to have changed you forever? And you're just not going to be the same again. It was that occasion, that event, that experience in life that just really gripped everything about your life, and you're not going to be the same again. Amen. Amen. Now, we'll agree that sometimes life just seems to happen. Things just seem to happen. And it seems like it's even random, but in reality, we know that God has His hand and His plan on the life that belongs to Him. And for those of us who know Him as Father, we know that He is moving very carefully and He is working in every detail. And though we may not understand all these things that are happening around us, Those of us that know God and realize that God is moving in our life, we can grow from those things that just happen in life. That this God who is moving in our lives, and those of us who know God, we pray that we will make the most of all those things that take place in life. That those people, that they are amazing. Those people are who go through those trying times, and they take those trying times as an opportunity to endure for God, to survive and even thrive as God is growing them through an unbelievable situation. And then you have the other side of the coin. You have the other people, and when the worst comes, it seems like the worst keeps coming, and they end up living a life that's bitter and bad and sour and sad, and they're always fault finding and blame casting because this thing in life has so changed them They can't seem to get back on track anymore. And what we may not know about those people before we start pointing fingers at those people, they've been deeply hurt. And they're just trying to get back on life. And what they need in life is an alteration. They need an alteration in their life. And do you know, that's what you need, and you need, and you need, and we need, we all need. An alteration in life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because it's at this altar, which is very symbolic. I don't want you to think that there's anything special about this wood and carpet. But it is the altar of God. Yes, it is symbolic, but it is very important. The altar of God. And it's at the altar of God that the alteration takes place in our heart, so that whatever circumstance, whatever situation you face in life, it becomes an opportunity for you to bring it to the altar and watch God alter you for your sake and His glory. Such an amazing thing as you bring your life to God's altar, and something begins to happen to you. And so we're going to see that this morning in the life of Abram or Abraham. And as you look through the book of Genesis, and we're just going to look at a few verses this morning, as you look through the book of Genesis and you see the life of Abram, what you will notice, and you can do this at another time as you want to read about the life of Abram and Abraham, as you read about it, time and time again, you will find Abraham at the altar of God. Over and over and over again, you see his life being altered at the altar of God. God doing something in his life. It's such a great example for you and I as we live our lives today. You see, people that you find at the altar of God are people that you find God is doing something in their lives. So let's look at the story this morning. It's Genesis chapter 12, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Now we know from the book of Hebrews that Abraham was a man of faith. He was just an amazing man of faith. And because of his faith in God, you can watch him time and time again obey God. He was told to go to a land that he had never seen. And so he left his land for a country to go to this place that he had never seen before in his life, really not knowing where he was even going. Abraham, by faith, was going somewhere with God. And so this is a great point in the sermon to stop and ask, by faith, where are you going with God? Where is God leading you in your life, and by faith you are following him? That's what he wants from you, and that's what he wants from me. By faith, can we say, I'm following my God. I'm following my Savior. Verse 2, God says to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of Morah, And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. So you want to stop and take note there. The promises of God caused Abram to build an altar. See, these promises of God begin to change his life. As a matter of fact, it changed his life dramatically. It changed everything that he would do from this point forward. It changed what he did, where he lived, where he would go. God has promised him a new land and many descendants. And in his response to God's promise, Abram builds an altar. Because there must be an altar in our life where we come before God and we sacrifice our life to God's glory because of his promise. So Abram, he builds this altar because his life is constantly being altered. And listen, we're not going to truly live for God unless our life is constantly being altered, unless we're constantly being changed. The Christian life is about change. Something is supposed to be happening inside of you and inside of me. We're supposed to be changing for the glory of God. Verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And look at what he does. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And so Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now you see that word altar there in verse 8, if you'd like to circle it. In the Hebrew, it basically means slaughterhouse or a place of sacrifice. And so here's Abram as he travels, and he stops somewhere between Ai and Bethel. And he builds an altar because it's time for him to sacrifice for the Lord. It's time for him to have his life changed for the Lord. He does it, as I said, between Bethel and Ai. Bethel means the house of God. Ai means a heap of ruins or compromise. And you may want to do this later on. If you want to go to Joshua chapter 7, you can read this whole story about Ai and how important it is in the life of the Israelites. You may remember the Hebrews. They had just recently taken down the walls of Jericho. And they are feeling pretty good about themselves. And God has promised them this land. And so they decide to move forward. Try to go in and defeat Ai, which is, Ai's much smaller than Jericho. And they should be able to go in and do this with ease. It really ought to be a breeze. But because of one man by the name of Achan, who's in this horrible struggle with sin, they go out and they go into Ai and they are soundly defeated. All because of one man who's in this terrible struggle with stuff. And so on one hand, you have Bethel, the house of God, and on the other hand, you have Ai, a worldly place, a place of stuff. And so here comes Abram in his travels, and he gets between the two, and he builds an altar, and now he has a choice. Is it Bethel, or is it Ai? Is it the house of God, or is it my worldly passion? He has a choice. I can follow God by faith and know that God will bless me. Or my other choice is, I can go down to Ai and I can satisfy my flesh with all that stuff. And all that stuff will satisfy your flesh for about 5 minutes. And then it brings ruin and compromise into your life. And so he had a choice that he would make. And when he has a choice, a serious choice that he must make, you know what he does? He goes to the altar of God. And you and I make that same choice almost on a daily basis. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be my worldly passion? And if you tell me you don't make that choice, I'm not going to tell you what I think, okay? So that's not very nice, right? We all make those choices. We're all in that struggle. We all, every one of us, are still living in this flesh, in this body of flesh that greatly desires even sinful things of this world. And so we're in this struggle. And so we have a choice. We have a choice. The things of God or the things of this earth. And it's a daily struggle, so there must be a daily surrender. And you can't live that altered life without a daily surrender to God. It's impossible for me to live a godly life without a daily surrender to God. And so I answer that question every day. Am I more a citizen of God's world, or am I more a citizen of this world? And if I live in AI, it may be fun for a while, but eventually it's ruin and compromise. But it's a choice that I have to make. And I don't know where you are right now, I'm sure, you know, with a group of people, there's probably some of us, we're firmly rooted in the house of Bethel, and some of us are firmly rooted over there in AI, but for most of us, most likely, it's that struggle between the two. We're stuck somewhere in the middle. And sometimes, some days, you wake up and you can feel yourself being drawn closer to God. And you can just feel God working in your life. And then you wake up the next day and there's still a lot of stuff down in AI I'd love to go have. I'd love to go spend my time with. And so there's this battle that goes on. And Abraham, being a smart, godly man, he builds him an altar, because you need an altar to turn your life over to God. And the Bible says Abraham built an altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. Now you look back in verse 6 and you'll see another word, Shechem. One of the things that I found very interesting years ago as I began to preach God's Word, And you guys, over the next few weeks, you're going to realize I'm not the smartest guy in the room, okay? I mentioned that to you last week, only because it's true. But I found it very interesting over the years as I was preaching that if I would look words up in the Hebrew and the Greek, and I don't speak a lot of Hebrew or a lot of Greek, though it may sound like Greek to you, it's not real Greek. But as I would look up these words in the Hebrew and Greek, I saw that it just the light of God would just shine on those words and open up that scripture to me. And so as I would study and get ready for this sermon, you look up that word Shechem, and you find out that word in the Hebrew means portion, allotment, or measure. And it's so amazing, that is what was happening in Abram's life. God has this will for Abram's life. Abram, as he is traveling on, he's discovering, God's revealing to him that God has a portion for him. God has an allotment for him. God has a measure for him. God has a will for him. And Abraham's discovering, I need to go to the altar of God and allow God to work in my life, so that I can surrender my will for His will. It's just an amazing what was happening in his life. And you'll discover, as you're trying to discover God's will for your life, you'll discover as you find yourself at the altar of God, He begins revealing His will for your life. And you may discover, as God begins to reveal His will for your life, it may not necessarily be what you thought He would will for your life. I never dreamed God would will for my life that I would preach. Never dreamed that I would be a preacher. My wife never dreamed that I would be a preacher. I'm the last one she thought would be a preacher. Don't say amen. Just sit over there and be quiet. We never dreamed that's what God would will for our life. But what we did discover is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is saying, Lord, I want your will for my life. I want whatever you want for my life. But unfortunately, in life, too many of us have gotten to that point in our life where we haven't really surrendered our will to His will. We haven't completely surrendered our life to the life that God wants us to have, to the life that God has planned for us to have. We haven't surrendered to that portion and to that measure and to that allotment. Well, preacher, what is my measure? What is my allotment? What is God's will for my life? And my answer to you is, I don't know what God has willed for your life, but I can help you a little bit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And this will give us just a little bit of insight. Romans chapter 12, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you'd like, you could circle that word beseech. It actually means to invite or to beg. To invite or to beg. Here's the whole point of the verse. You see, God will not force you or coerce you into presenting yourselves to Him. God does not force His will on you. He doesn't force it on you. You have a choice. At the end of each service, I am going to invite you to come to the altar, to alter your life. Never will God force you to come. Never will God make you come. You have a choice to whether you want to come or not. He asks you. He invites you. He sometimes begs you. But He doesn't force you. He doesn't coerce you into doing what you don't want to do. But He says, it's holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. You know what's so wonderful? Here's God, and He saved us from sin, and He saved us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. He saved us from eternity in hell. He's overwhelmed us with His unmerited grace and unbelievable just favor of love on us. And He says, I beseech you. I beg you, I invite you, come present yourselves before me. Because He wants to do something in you and through you. In verse 2 He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His perfect will of God. It's amazing. Whatever God has willed for your life is good. It's good. And it's acceptable. And it's perfect. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. And here it is. A measure of faith. So God gives you a measure of faith, a portion of faith, to do what He has willed for you to do. God gives you a measure of faith to do what He has called you to do. So I ask you, have you discovered God's will for your life? Are you on that journey to discover what God has willed for your life? Some of you already know. Some of you already know God called me to the ministry of mission. Maybe some of you are just like me. God has called you to preach. Maybe others of you, God has willed for you to work in the medical field, or God has willed for you to teach, or God has willed for you to use that hammer and that saw. But whatever it is, whatever God has willed for you, He will give you a measure of faith to do what He has asked you to do. Well, preacher, again, that sounds really good. But what does God have for me? And again, I tell you, I don't know. But I do know, as you are living for God, as you are presenting yourselves to God, as as you are coming to the altar of God to have your life altered, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. He may even be speaking to you right now, and He will give you a measure of faith to do what He has called you to do. He's wanting to work in your life. So I will ask in just a few moments, on behalf of God, would you present yourselves at the altar? Would you present yourselves at the altar of God? Not necessarily this wood and carpet, but this is just, again, it's a great symbol of what we're doing. But would you present yourself at the altar of God and allow God to speak to you and alter your life? And some of you are already saying, no, I'm not coming. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that, preacher. I'm just not going to do it. And I say, well, why aren't you going to do it? You go, because I don't know what God has willed for my life, and I'm afraid of what God has willed for my life. And then I would say to you, but didn't God just say that it would be good and perfect and acceptable? And you will say, well, of course He said it would be good, perfect, and acceptable. It'll be good, perfect, and acceptable to Him, but I'm not so sure it's going to be good, perfect, and acceptable. What I want to do, my life. Preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm afraid. And isn't that the whole truth? We're afraid sometimes. Fear sometimes keeps us from doing what God has called us to do, because we feel inadequate. We feel very inadequate. I was at Caswell, I think it was several years ago, 2-3 years ago, at a youth camp with a bunch of teenagers. And the speaker that day was a man by the name of Adrian DePreez. How many of y'all know him? Adrian DePreez, y'all heard of him? He a former football player, big guy, football player. And now he's a preacher, great preacher, great speaker. But he says when it comes to serving God and when it comes to preaching and standing in front of a group of people and doing that type of thing, he says, I feel so inadequate. And can I confess something to you this morning? I feel the same way. A lot of preachers feel the same way. I never ever wake up in the morning going, I'm the man. Now, sometimes Cindy tells me I am, but I don't ever wake up in the morning going, I'm the preacher man. I've got it. You know, I'm the man. No. I never feel adequate to do what God has called me to do. And if I did, anything I can do without God's not worth doing anyway. A God work is far beyond anything I could ever do. So I want you to know this morning, every time I stand in front of you, I am completely inadequate of doing anything. The great news is, God isn't. God is very adequate. And God can use you, and God can speak through me, and God can use all of us to do those things that He's called us to do. Whatever God has willed you to do, God will give you a measure of faith to do it. You can, because He will give you what you need. And so I ask you, today at the altar of God, would you at least come and allow Him to speak to you? Allow Him to begin to reveal to you what He has willed for your life, so that you can get to that point in your life where you surrender your will to His will. So would you stand with me this morning? Stand with me for a moment, and your head's bowed and your eyes closed. The altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place where we just come, as we learned in Romans, and we just present ourselves to God. And it's there when we present ourselves to God that He begins to reveal to us those things that He wants to do in our life. I don't know what God has in store for you, but here's what I do know. It's good, and it's acceptable, and it's perfect, and it's between you and God to find out what it is. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that no matter how inadequate we are, You can do it all. Through Christ, all things are possible. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that our hearts would just be completely surrendered to You, because here at Herman Baptist Church, You are wanting to do a great work, and You will do a great work through surrendered life. So I pray, Lord, that we'll just surrender our